I did not have the opportunity to be in an Anabaptist service last week. But I took in what I had. First of all, I tried to call in here and it didn't seem like there was anything happening. Then I tried in at 10 o'clock and got a little bit, but tried to focus on the service there. And I was blessed to be with the people who were enthused about serving God. And it was evident from the singing, even though one of the things that happens when you go to other services that you compare it with what you have. And there's strengths that I saw, but there was also weaknesses. I don't particularly enjoy when everyone sings in unison, but that's what they did there. And that was a blessing. The pastor had a dramatic testimony, and he shared that. He shared his life story. He got married young, and I don't know how it happened that he got addicted to pain medicine, but it ruined his life. I sense that I don't think he was religious when he was raised, when he grew up. But he got into addiction, and he chased his addiction for years. And his wife, a lot of Christians counseled his wife to divorce him, move on in life. But she didn't. She prayed for him for years. And he was in and out of the home chasing his addiction. He was unfaithful in the marriage. And a lot of pain there. Because of his chasing his addiction, there was a time where he took a big knife and he cut off his finger. He has half his finger today. And he thought that through that, he could find his answer to his need, his problem. What a drastic end to go to find your fix, right? Well, it didn't answer his problem, but through all that, he was placed under a restraining order and had to go for help. And in his counseling, he met Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. And because of what Jesus did for him, he wanted to do something for his Lord. And so they gathered with a few of the saints in a tent in the deep south. I don't know what that was like. It certainly didn't get that cold, but it certainly got very warm. And they gathered there year-round for 2 years under a tent until they found a building and started a church. And today there's a large church there. His son is the assistant pastor, and a lot of his family helps serve in the services. And I just had to marvel at the story of what Jesus is doing around the world, people that we don't know, reaching them where they are and changing their lives. And even though it was a bit different than what we have here this morning, I was blessed with what Jesus is doing. I don't know if you noticed the phrase in that song. Love will teach us how to what? It says how to pray. This morning I would like to preach on prayer. Luke 11, verse 1, you can turn to Matthew 6, but Luke 11, verse 1 says, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Did you catch that? Jesus was praying, and the disciples wanted to learn how to pray as well. Who taught you how to pray? Who taught my children how to pray? Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus is teaching them here the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye, be not ye like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What is prayer? We bow our heads and close our eyes, and then what happens? Well, it depends a lot what we make happen, right? Prayer is talking to God, and it's just that simple. Jeremiah 33:3, we know that is God's telephone number, at least that's what they call it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me. Reaching out to God. God is on call 24/7, 365. To think back where the prophets of Baal were challenged to call down fire. And the question was, why didn't their God send fire? Was he sleeping? Was he off on a journey? Turned it into somewhat of a mockery. But we know that God is always available, and I'm grateful for that. What an opportunity we have to reach out to God in prayer. What is the place of prayer? I traveled a lot of miles. Did I get out of the range of God this week? I went to the southernmost tip of the United States, all the way at the bottom of Key West. Was God out of reach? No. We can pray anywhere, anytime, any place. And Jesus taught personally that we should pray where in this passage? It says that we should enter into our closet, and when we have shut the door. How do you pray in the closets with your shut door? We should go to a quiet place and commune with God. And there's also a time to pray collectively in the assembly, like we did this morning and that we plan to do again. So there's many different places that we have opportunity to pray to God. There are several elements here in the Lord's Prayer that I think we should look at. Our Father, a direct praying to God in first person, speaking directly to God. I'm not sure why all years ago there was an emphasis on praying to God in different methods, and I don't know what your method is, but I think it's right just to come to God directly. We do know that we come to God through our high priest, Jesus. Jesus Christ is our intercessor, and through Jesus we can come directly to God. Our Father, yes, we have a God up above who cares for us just as our earthly fathers, and even better, because he knows much more about us than they do. He knows our needs before we ask him, but we can directly come to him. Which art in heaven, we know that God is high above us. His ways are higher than our ways, and he is a great and awesome God. We come to him in worship for who he is. Hallowed be thy name. We pause to consider his greatness and our smallness, the providential care that he provides for us, and we worship him for who he is. We also bring our needs to Him. Give us this day our daily bread. When is the last time you prayed that in earnest? Do you know what that's like? Maybe the moms who have to make the meals think about that. Like, what are we going to have for the next meal? Well, usually it's not because the cupboards are barren. But there's a whole group of people in this earth that live that way. And I think it's right for us to recognize that God sustains our daily life, whether it's the air we breathe or the keeping our hearts beating, the food that we eat, God supplies that. And we need to trust Him for it. Also, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I believe that we need to come to Him in confession of our heart's needs, of who we are and the things that we struggle with, and ask Him for His forgiveness. Right along with that, we need to forgive others. And that can be a part of our prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, deliver us in the things that we face in the future. And also, we just depend on You as we go through life. We know that God is doing a great work, for Thine is the kingdom. We know that God is building a kingdom, and it is a time to commune with Him about what His will is for building His kingdom and the privilege that we have to be a part of that. Mark chapter 11, I invite you there. There's actually a lot of verses in the Bible about prayer. There's a lot of prayers in the Bible throughout, from the Old to the New Testament, and a lot of different places that we can go. Jesus here speaks about another aspect of prayer that Mark 11, verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shalt believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wherefore I say unto you that what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, for ye ought, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. What are the requirements for, I wrote down a successful prayer, and I guess there's probably a better word than that. What are the requirements for prayer? Well, we know here he talks about faith. Faith, you need faith. If you have faith and don't doubt, God will answer. Now, the answer is not always what we expect, but God does answer prayer. Pray in faith, not doubting. Faith that God hears. Faith that God cares about me and my situation. Faith that God has the power to make a difference, and faith that God will do what is best. We also have verses where the Bible says, Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And reminds me of the widow who Jesus also talked about. Not seeing those. Oh, admit that I put down too many verses, too many places, and I didn't have that at this part of the message. But the widow who continually came to the judge and wearied him of her asking, and so he said, you know what? That's actually in Luke 18. Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them, that men always ought to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Persistence. First of all, we talk about the widow who wearied the judge. It says, God is the same way. If we come to God, is he not going to listen? He will listen, and he will hear, and he will answer. Persistence in prayer. To ask is to make a request. To seek is to be earnest. The Bible uses the word fervent in James. And then to knock. You know, that happens from time to time. Maybe a room. There's a room where the door is locked, and you really want in there. And so first you ask, can I come in? And it's still locked. And you get more earnest about it. You find out why the door can't be opened. You seek and you knock, and you want to find an answer to the thing that you're looking for. We already mentioned in Matthew 6, 5 and 6, pray humbly, not hypocritically. Jesus said they stand in the temple. We stand praying here sometimes as well, but why do we choose the postures that we do? We'll look at that a little later. Pray humbly, not hypocritically. James says, prayers are not successful because we ask amiss. We pray about things that are not God's will. They are rather our carnal desires that we want to have to serve ourselves. God, I need more money. God, I need more fame. God, I want people to think better of me, and it's me, me, me. And God says, you know what? I have a bigger work than building you. I have other purposes. Pray with a godly purpose. I believe that's one of the keys. We also need to pray in sincerity. Matthew 6, 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. We read that verse. Pray in sincerity. God doesn't need a lot of speaking. He doesn't need a lot of words. He just needs a sincere heart calling on him for answer. God loves when we call on him. You know, there's nothing that makes a parent more proud than when children come asking, Dad, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your provision. And it's the same way for God. God loves when we come to him. I would like to look next at the power of a simple prayer and turn back to 1 Chronicles 4. I was impressed with this simple prayer in the Old Testament, and there's a lot of simple prayers in the Bible, and it doesn't even say what he said necessarily, but it says the content. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez." Why? Saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez meant sorrow maker. What if you were born called sorrow maker and that became your identity? How would you feel about that? And so what did Jabez do with that? I don't know what he did, but he struggled with that for a long time, I believe. And it led him to this prayer. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Which is greater, the curse of a mother or the blessing of the Lord? We know which is greater. We know that the blessing of God made a difference. Jabez had a bold, specific prayer. He requested that this curse could be lifted, that God would bless him, that he would expand his efforts, and that God's divine presence would be with me, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from the evil. And I don't believe that his prayer was just selfish. It was about his life. It was about him and his journey, but he felt like he needed God. And God smiled on that and answered his prayer. And the answer seems immediate, but we don't know the journey of Jabez and his prayer. But God gave life-changing results to this simple prayer, asking God to make a difference, to take away the curse, and that he could be a blessing. I believe today that our prayer should be intentional and specific. If there's something big in our lives, God wants us to take it to him in prayer. James 5, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." It doesn't say call the doctors. It doesn't say call the psychiatrist. It says let him pray. We actually read that verse in Luke 18, verse 1. Said that men always ought to pray and not to faint. I think that gives us some practical wisdom for the place of prayer. And I don't know if this is true, but there was a medical doctor that said that, and he had a high number, he said that 80-some percent of people that come into the medical world and come into the ER, he said that 80%, if they had their emotional needs taken care of in life, they wouldn't be there. And I struggled with his number, and I don't know if that's true, but we do know that finding God to our heart's deepest needs, and as we face life, the things that we face, can make a tremendous difference in where we are in our journey. Back to James, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to passion, like as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Did God ever answer your prayer in such a dramatic way? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What an amazing story. God in prayer. Do you notice how many times prayer is used in those verses? If you're sick, if you're afflicted, if you're emotionally distraught, seek God in prayer. Where's God in my life? I believe it's also right to seek a spirit of prayer. There are times when we're overwhelmed with the difficulties of life and we're distraught and we can't even really enter into prayer until we seek a spirit of prayer. Maybe no one else struggles with that. Empty ourselves of the thoughts about ourselves, the cares that we carry. Say, God, maybe me isn't as big a deal as what I think it is, and come to God in prayer. Push out the things that crowd out the quietness that we need to find. To find God. God, there are times when God speaks through the chaos of all the other noise. But if we're filling our life with noise, we can easily be pushing God out. And we need to give conscious effort to quiet the noise of our life, to hear God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Something that we can do every day. As we go through our days, what are the postures in prayer? There are so many. Solomon stood before the altar in the presence of all the congregation and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And that's how he prayed. Jesus referenced standing prayer in the temple. However, Daniel knelt three times a day. So we have kneeling in the Bible. Jesus kneeled in Luke 22. Peter kneeled to heal Tabitha. Paul kneeled, Acts 20. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So we have standing, we have kneeling. We also have Matthew 26, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father. Joshua fell on his face. Jesus fell on his face. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the people, Numbers 14. And then we have 2 Samuel 7, where David sat before the Lord. I don't know that there's any others where it says he sat before the Lord, but David did. It's also possible to pray in motion. Nehemiah 2, it seems like Nehemiah prayed while he was serving the king. Typical of ongoing communion with God. I just read the verse, pray without ceasing. Pray in motion. Also, Psalm 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And so lying down in our beds, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Yes, we can even lay in bed and pray and talk to God. We also mentioned earlier lifting of the hands. I will that therefore men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Lifting of the hands to pray. Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven to pray. Yes, we tell our children to bow their heads, close their eyes, and be still, right? Well, Jesus opened his eyes and looked to heaven. And I believe it's right to close our eyes, to close out distractions, and to focus on seeing God and our thoughts. I think that's a beautiful thing. There's also a time to look to heaven and just cry out to God. The truth is that posture reflects the heart. It is not a ritual. We don't believe that we do those things just because we do them. We do them because they have meaning to us. We stand to show respect. We kneel to show humility. We prostrate ourselves, maybe to show awe or even possibly desperation. We lift our hands, maybe to implore, but also to surrender. We might sit in reflection. We might walk as just ongoing communion with God, or we might be lying down as just that's where we are and we want to reach out to God. We know that Jonah prayed from the depths of the earth in the belly of a whale. And so I believe that God accepts any posture, any place, any time if we're sincere about finding Him. Yes, we do need to avoid hypocrisy in posture. Do not stand to be seen, Jesus said. But posture can aid in focus and in expression of seeking God. What about the methods of prayer? Hannah prayed silently, and she was accused. I believe it was her, unless I'm confusing that one. Somebody was accused of being drunk. Hannah prayed silently, but I believe that it's right that most of our prayers would be given audibly. Why do we pray audibly? Well, for some of us, it helps us stay on track. It's easy when you're quiet to let your mind wander. It's also good for others that are listening to hear our thoughts, our children, our brothers and sisters. I believe that prayers are our heart's cry to God and feelings expressed in words. And there are times when there are feelings that cannot be necessarily composed in words, but I believe that that's God's method, silently and usually audibly. Types of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. What are supplications? And then prayer, and then intercessions, giving of thanks. And then we have confession and worship and many, many types of prayer. Adam Clark wrote this. He said it's generally understood that supplications are prayers for averting evil. A prayer is a request for a good thing, like Hannah's request for a child. And intercessions are given on behalf of others, like as Abraham did for Lot and Sodom. And giving of thanks and giving praise to God. And of course, confession, confessing our sin. And worship, pointing out the attributes of God and how we adore Him. Well, what are the results of prayer? We already talked about one. It might be the difference between our success and our failure and in fainting. The results of prayer is that we find strength to go forward. It's Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with your thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a close connection between prayer and peace. The results of prayer are, one is, of course, that we mentioned before, that God answers. But the other one is that we find rest. We find rest that we have done all that we can do. And now it's up to God. And we are okay knowing that God is a good God and that we can trust Him. Fits closely with 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Yes, if we pray in intercession, others are blessed. And I suppose there are more that I didn't think of. But we know that when we go to prayer, we are not wasting our time. I don't know. Well, I think I know. Do you think anyone died saying, I wasted my life in prayer? I don't think so. We know that God sees the prayer of the saints as a sweet-smelling incense up before Him. I didn't look up those verses. I believe that's in Revelation. Are we using this avenue that God has given to us to its optimal ability? I know that there are old folks that wonder why they're here, and they talk about how that they pray for people, and I appreciate the prayer warriors that use their time in prayer. Can we remember our brothers and sisters in their infirmities and those that are struggling, those that are carrying heavy loads, that God would be with them and bless them according to their needs? Well,